We're looking at the work of reporting COVID-19 infections and deaths and how these numbers come together in the mini charts and dashboards we see all over the internet. You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. The goal of public health officials is to see the number of newly reported cases and deaths fall over time. But when you have a situation where a person dies of multiple causes, how does that get reported? And then how does it affect the overall death tally for COVID-19? Bring your questions about reporting and interpreting the pandemic data at 800-642-1234. Will Cushman is associate editor at WisconText. That is the multimedia news and information project of WPR and PBS Wisconsin. And he's created data visualizations on COVID-19 in Wisconsin since the start of April. Will, welcome back.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me.
So talking about the true COVID-19 death toll number has a whole lot of nuance to it and complexity. What can you tell us about the death toll and how deadly the coronavirus is?
You're right. There is a lot of nuance in there that I think sometimes gets lost. So maybe we can just start with the overall statistics as they're being reported by the state of Wisconsin right now. So we know that since March 19th, which was when Wisconsin announced its two first confirmed deaths from COVID-19, there have been 719 deaths confirmed from COVID-19 in the state. And that's out of 23,876 cases that have been confirmed in the state. So that right there is a death toll of about 3%. But that's 3% of known cases. So as we'll talk about over the next few minutes, that's really providing kind of an incomplete picture of the disease's toll.
Yeah, how is it incomplete when you look at those numbers?
Sure. It's incomplete in two ways. The first, probably more significant way, is that we have an incomplete understanding of how many infections there have been in the state. So that understanding is getting better as the state has expanded testing. The Department of Health Services is now reporting around roughly on any given day 10,000 test results every day. But back earlier in the pandemic, so in late March and the first part of April, the state was only reporting maybe a few hundred up to 1,000 test results per day. And over that same period, we've seen a decline in the percent of tests that are coming back positive. And so that can be an indication that the state is finding more of the infections that are occurring all across the state. That was probably not the case, or most definitely not the case at the beginning of the outbreak in March.
And as you get more and more people tested, ultimately, as those numbers go up and up and up on testing, that will too play into how the infection rate is, because you would naturally be having a broader net, if you will, for testing and finding more infection.
Exactly. Yeah. And we would, it's expected that the death rate as we understand it, so the number of confirmed deaths as compared to the number of confirmed infections is called the case fatality rate. So that's the fatality rate among known cases. And we would expect that to go down as testing increases and includes more people who are not seriously ill. That's the other thing that has changed quite dramatically since the beginning of the outbreak. Most people who were getting tested in the first several weeks that testing was available in Wisconsin were those who were hospitalized for the disease. So they were people who were already suffering severe symptoms from the disease and therefore were probably more likely to die anyway. So testing is now capturing a lot of people with mild symptoms, and even in some cases, people who are asymptomatic.
Will Cushman is associate editor of WisconText. We're talking about what the true death toll is from the pandemic, why reporting is nuanced and tricky. Are you confused about the stats on COVID-19 reporting? What questions do you have about how the data are compiled and presented? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Well, there are claims circulating that the COVID-19 death rate without a vaccine is lower than the flu death rate with a vaccine. And earlier this week, Raymond in Milwaukee called in with this question.
Since the seasonal flu is far more deadly, why aren't we shutting everything down every year for that? This seems totally blown out of proportion.
What can you tell us about comparisons with the flu?
Yeah, I think that public health officials kind of at the beginning of our understanding of novel coronavirus were making comparisons to the flu kind of to help the public understand the relative risk at the time. So that would have been in like January or February when the novel coronavirus was not really circulating in the US. And I think public health officials wanted to remind everyone that we were experiencing an ongoing flu season, and the flu does kill people. But I think that comparison has kind of turned into a bit of a faulty premise. A, because the diseases are so different. They both cause respiratory symptoms, but we're finding out that COVID also can affect all sorts of symptoms in the body and can cause really pretty wild inflammatory responses. It can cause blood clots that can be deadly. We're seeing strokes in younger people. So I really think that comparing the two diseases is tough. But we do know that the seasonal flu has a death rate, usually typical seasonal flu has a death rate of about 0.1%. And as I said earlier, the official death rate for COVID in Wisconsin right now is 3%. Epidemiologists and health demographers and doctors are all quite sure that that is quite high, that the true death rate is quite a bit lower, perhaps an order of magnitude lower. But the best estimates are still that the true overall death rate across the population from COVID-19 is about maybe 0.2% up to maybe 1%. That's getting pretty high. But even at its low end, it's still twice. Our best understanding right now is that it's twice as deadly as the seasonal flu. But that's the seasonal flu. Sometimes the strains of flu can be more deadly. The 1918 Spanish flu had a death rate of about 2%. That's kind of where those comparisons stand.
Well, let's take a call. Jim is with us from Slinger. Hi, Jim.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, and you'll notice that number, by the way, is continually falling. But I wanted to mention that I don't see any reporting on the bed count or the people in the ICU in Wisconsin. I follow that rate every day, and I see that it's been dropping. And nowhere in the news do they report that. I just heard your newscast at the top of the hour, and it talked about death, and it talked about the rate of testing. But it does not mention that the cases are actually dwindling in Wisconsin.
Jim, I'm going to pause there to let Will jump in because we're short here on time before the break. But do we have firm numbers on hospital bed capacity and the number of people in ICU units?
The caller is right that the state does track those numbers, and the Wisconsin Hospital Association also tracks those numbers. I'm not positive what they are right now. I know that we're going to be looking into hospitalizations going forward at WisConText for sure.
We're talking with Will Cushman from WisConText about the tracking and data reporting on the coronavirus. What do you want to know about the methodologies and systems for reporting COVID-19 deaths? What chart or numbers are you watching? Are you watching hospital beds and ICU? Do you still follow the gating criteria that the state put together in its original reopening plan? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Will Cushman on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about how to measure how deadly the coronavirus is and what goes into a probable or confirmed case of COVID-19 for the purposes of tallying the death total. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, has guidance for the death certificate reporting. It says COVID-19 can be listed as the immediate cause of death, the underlying cause, or a contributing factor. So what questions do you have about how Wisconsin is tracking mortality? What numbers do you follow to make decisions in your own life? Join in 800-642-1234. Will Cushman is an associate editor at WisconText, and he stays with us. Let's take another call now. Tara is with us from Stevens Point. Hi, Tara.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
I'm wondering why the website doesn't track how many people currently have coronavirus and how many people are getting coronavirus per day within each county as well as the state. Because I feel like how many people currently have coronavirus, like how many people haven't recovered yet, is very important to me for planning what I'm going to do.
Will, what about that tracking?
That's a really good question. And the state does track that. I think the caller may be asking about our data visualization page on WisConText. And we actually do have plans we're working on some reporting right now about what it really means to be recovered from COVID-19, both kind of individually, so anecdotally, but then what that means in the official state data, like how they consider someone to be a recovered case. And I do think the caller is right that as time goes by, the number of currently active cases versus recovered cases in any given area is going to become more important and more relevant. We know that right now, actually, for instance, in La Crosse County, which is dealing with quite a spike in cases just in the last week, the majority of the cases that have been reported in La Crosse County since the beginning of the pandemic, so since March, are active right now, versus there are other parts of the state where the majority of cases that have been reported over that same time period have now recovered. So the caller is definitely right that there's that can affect your risk depending on where you are and how active the disease is circulating in that community.
Will, is there set criteria that the state uses to establish what is a recovered case?
You know, they do have criteria, it's actually a colleague of mine who is working on that reporting right now. So I guess all I can say right now is stay tuned for that reporting.
Yeah.
But also the Department of Health Services has a lot of really useful information about how they report cases, confirmed cases, probable cases, confirmed deaths and probable deaths, and then the recovery status of a patient. If you just conduct an internet search for Wisconsin DHS outbreaks, that'll take you to the Department of Health Services outbreaks page, which will lead you to a whole number of really useful pages all devoted to understanding COVID-19.
Yeah, the Department of Health Services website is a deep dive into COVID. There is a lot of data there.
So much.
Cindy from Mount Horeb called in to tell us that the DHS website has hospital capacity information by region on it. So Cindy commenting there. Will, you know, the issue of how deaths are recorded is not only an issue here in Wisconsin, but all over, because, you know, the attending physician is involved, medical examiners, coroners, sometimes the funeral home is involved, public health officials. What goes into stating the standard for what goes on the death certificate and how the person perished?
That's a really good question. And a lot of times, at least from the people I've spoken to in Wisconsin, it sounds like it really depends on where the death occurs. So if the death occurs in a hospital or another healthcare setting or a nursing home, an attending physician will usually make the judgment call on whether or not to attribute that death to COVID-19. Most of the time, that judgment is made on the basis of a test result. So usually the test for the virus that causes COVID-19 is pretty good. And so most of the time that can be relied upon, like a positive test result can be relied upon as indicating that the death was likely caused by COVID-19. But that's not always the case. I actually talked to an emergency room physician at Bellin Hospital in Green Bay, who he said that he didn't treat this patient, but this was a couple of weeks ago, so they may have had more patients die from COVID in the meantime. But at the time that they had, at that time, he said that they had six patients who had died from COVID-19, and one of them, they actually tested multiple times, and the tests repeatedly came back negative. But they also conducted CT scans of the patient's chest and lungs and identified what he described as really classic signs of COVID-19 pneumonia, which has some really kind of classic signs that are unique to COVID-19. So he said that they could feel very confident about determining that patient died from COVID-19, even though they didn't have a positive test result.
Yeah, interesting. Multiple positive test results come back negative, but the CT scan, you can see the effect of COVID-19.
Exactly. Yeah, the symptom is called ground glass opacities. It's just the way that COVID-19 pneumonia appears in a CT scan. It's very classic and unique to the disease. But he said that, yeah, sometimes those swabs, those nasopharyngeal swabs that they take to do the testing, that's when they stick these long swabs up the patient's nose, and it can be quite uncomfortable. But he said that sometimes they're just not effective at getting any of the virus particles that may be in the patient's respiratory system. So sometimes a patient will test negative multiple times, even if they are quite positive they have the disease.
Talking with Will Cushman, Associate Editor at WisconText, we're talking about the metrics behind reporting and tracking COVID-19 in Wisconsin with your questions, 800-642-1234. Will, you know, in reporting this data and reporting deaths, a lot has to do with uniformity across different areas of Wisconsin, across states, even across countries. How consistent is the reporting that, local communities are doing here in Wisconsin? Do you see that the data is coming from very set standards from DHS?
You know, I know that there are definitely concerns about the consistency of reporting data. And I actually talked to a medical examiner in Racine County who said that he actually was potentially more worried about COVID deaths being overcounted than undercounted because of kind of the intricacies in reporting. He said, he shared an anecdote where there was a resident of Racine County who sought treatment for COVID-19 in Kenosha County, subsequently died. And the medical examiner in Racine County was notified, as was the one in Kenosha County, and then therefore the local health departments are also notified. And so he's only aware of that part of the process. And so being aware of only that part of the process, he said it kind of led him to be a little bit concerned that maybe both counties would report that death as occurring and maybe double counting that death. I did talk to representatives at the Department of Health Services specifically about that case and about that broader issue in general. And they said that they work on a daily basis with local health departments to confirm whatever cases and deaths are reported to them. And you can see that the data does get updated pretty much on a daily basis, where like you can see that they are correcting some data. So it's never going to be 100% perfect, but I think I'm confident as a reporter that the data that we're getting from the state is well vetted.
No peer data. You spend a lot of time with this data. Where are the trend lines going that you can see? Can we see trends right now in Wisconsin?
You know, the trend in Wisconsin has been fairly steady lately, about anywhere from a couple to maybe about 10 deaths per day over the last couple weeks. New cases have been in the couple hundreds per day. Yesterday, it was a little bit higher, it was over 400. But the test positivity, so the number of tests that are coming back positive, which is also a really important indicator of where the state is controlling the outbreak, that's been steadily going down from about 10% to lately, the last couple of weeks, it's been about 2 to 3%. It did tick up yesterday to 4%, but we'll see where it goes.
Will, thank you for joining us and for your reporting.
Thanks so much, Kate.
Will Cushman is associate editor at WisConText. You can find his reporting and a whole bunch of charts, graphs, interviews at wisconText.org. Coming up, Wisconsin's pro athletes are marching. They're responding to demonstrations in the wake of George Floyd's death. We discuss their calls for change and plans to restart league play. Are you a Bucks, Brewers, or Packers fan? How do you feel about the league's suspending their seasons? What do you think of the NBA's plan for restarting play at Disney in Orlando? Join in 800-642-1234. That's after this news update on the Ideas Network.